Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
And good morning, dear friends, and welcome to our program today. A joy to be back with you and joy to share with you to continue sharing this great gift of the reigning of God's will on earth as in heaven. Please join me as we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the gift of life. Certainly our human lives in which we can be one with Jesus in his humanity. But we thank you above all for the gift of your own divine life, this divine essence of your own being that you've given us at creation, when you created us in your divine will, and which you gave us even more fully in baptism with the coming indwelling of the Holy Trinity in our bodies and souls. Thank you, Father, for this gift and for allowing us to know this gift, to having introduced it to us, revealed it to us, even though we're all such newborns and such little children in the divine will, even though we're all novices here, Lord, we're all beginners. And yet you've made it known to us so that we can spend the rest of our lives growing in this knowledge, learning to love it so that we could possess it. Thank you, Father, above all, for revealing to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom of your will. We bless you and praise you this day. Ask that our Blessed Mother on this first Saturday of October would help us to know more fully what it means to live every moment in the will of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. Saint Junipero Serra, pray for us, and all you angels and saints, pray for us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, a joy to be with you as we continue volume 18 out of Luisa's 36-volume diary today called The Book of Heaven. And we'll go right into the next passage. It's a rather long one, so we'd like to complete it today. And it is dated September 16th, 1925. Title says, Jesus was always the same in his pains. To always be the same is divine virtue. Luisa writes, my days are ever more bitter because of the privation of my sweet Jesus. His will alone is left to me as precious inheritance of the so many visits he made to my poor soul. Now I've been left alone, forgotten by the one who formed my life, the one with whom I seem to be fused, because neither could he be without me, nor could I be without him. And so I am thinking, where is he? Where did the one who loves me so much go? What have I done that he would leave me? Jesus, come back, for I cannot take it anymore. But while I would like to abandon myself to sorrow and to the thought of my great misfortune of having lost the one in whom I had enclosed all my hopes and my happiness, the holy divine will imposes itself upon me, making me follow the course of my acts in his adorable will. It almost prevents me from grieving more for being deprived of my only good. So I remain as though petrified, immobile, all alone, without even the least kind of comfort, either from heaven or from the earth. Now, while I was in this state, I was thinking about different pains of the passion of Jesus. And Jesus, making himself seen for a little while, said, be my Lord in all my pains. I was always the same. I never changed. My gaze was always sweet. My face always serene. My words always calm and dignified. During all of my passion, I had such consistency of manners that if men had wanted to recognize me as their Redeemer, they would have recognized me just by my manners, always the same in everything. It's true that my pains were so many as to eclipse me and that they surrounded me like many clouds, but this was nothing. After the rush of the pains, I would reappear in the midst of my enemies like a majestic sun, with my usual serenity, with my same behavior and manners, always equal and peaceful. To always be the same is only of God, and of the true children of God. The mode which remains always equal to itself impresses the divine character in the soul, and allows one to recognize that the work of the creature is pure and holy. On the other hand, a changing character is of a creature. It is a sign of passions which roar in the human heart, which tyrannize over it, in such a way as to show also on the outside an unpleasant character which displeases everyone. This is why I recommend that you always be the same with me, with yourself, and with others, to be the same in sufferings, even in my very privation. Even in my very privation. The unchanging character must be indelible in you. Remember, he said it's imprinted on you by God himself. His own nature is unchanging. It must be indelible, never washed away, never removed in you. And even though the pains of my privation floor you and form the clouds of sorrow inside and outside of you, your unchanging manners will be light which will make these clouds disappear and will allow you to recognize that though hidden, I dwell within you. See, it's this word we have in English, equanimity, to be even in soul. Now, granted, dear friends, we are creatures and we are human and we do have emotions and moods and changes and all kinds of variations in our lives and our temperaments and different kinds of temperaments. And we go through various stages of our life in that growth through our temperament and with it in our lives and our maturity. But what Jesus is saying is deep down inside of us where the divine will reigns, there must be, and hopefully we're growing in this. It's not something that's absolute or happens all at once for sure. But hopefully we are growing in this equanimity. That is, the divine will maintains a certain balance, equilibrium, harmony within us and the faculties of our soul. So that even the greatest suffering, and for Louisa it was this privation, for us it may be something else, but it may also be that even the greatest pain of our lives, whether it's mental, emotional, or physical, or spiritual, that we're able to maintain that equanimity, you see, that balance within our souls, equal, of course we know equal comes, you know, from heaven for equal. Anima is the word for the soul. So this evenness, this equality of soul is something that Jesus is saying he looks for and wants to give us by the power of his will. We don't have it on our own. Our human nature by itself and left to itself is only prone to these kind of fluctuations and variations and moods and swings, all kinds of changes in our lives. And of course he's saying that's good way to live. First of all, it's not going to be pleasing to yourself or other people or to God. So he's saying we want this more harmonious way of life. You know, it's very interesting that if you look at our culture and our society today, it's all about constant change, isn't it? People get very bored without this constant. Look at the way images flash in front of us, whether it's on a computer or TV or movie screen. Very fast, so that our souls, through our intellect and our memory and will, have become so used to this very quick change. So now that we're all addicted, in a sense, to this, And so it's hard for us to maintain an evenness when our souls, and especially our intellects, are constantly bombarded by different things. We become, in a sense, addicts, junkies of all kinds of things flowing through us, through our senses. So, and of course, there are many other kinds of addictions we could have in this world today. There are countless. Almost anything that even that's good can become a religion, an addiction. Even certain religious practices could be an addictive kind of thing to us. It may be a good addiction in one sense, but also can keep us from even a deeper relationship with God if we're not growing, if we're not open to the way the Spirit's moving in our lives, if we don't have that evenness and equanimity of soul in our lives. You know, in Galatians, St. Paul says, the only thing that matters is that you're created anew. And to be created anew means God is the one at work, not ourselves, although we're cooperating, but it's God's grace that creates us anew. And so all that matters is that we let ourselves be created anew by the divine will operating through everything we do. And when we notice something going on in our lives that is not of God's will, that's not allowing us to live in God's will the way we know we should, then we have to let it go. You see, we have to be willing to make that sacrifice in our lives. And so this is the call, I think, to all of us. And suffering, you see, is the cause of addiction. The reason our culture is now so, is bombarding us with just one thing after another, if we allow it to, is because of the pain of our humanity, of our nothingness, that everybody's trying to avoid at any cost. People can't sit still very long. They can't stay in one place unless they're being entertained, unless their intellects are being bombarded by all these things. So all of the addictions of our culture are simply a means for us to avoid pain. What Jesus is saying to Louisa, you've got to live through this pain with equanimity, without giving up, without running away, without throwing in the towel, without saying, I've had enough. You know, she does herself sometimes, and granted we're human, we will perhaps get to that point and say those kinds of things. But he's saying deep in your soul, the divine will provides the beam, you know, provides the balancing bar for us to remain on. It's the foundation of everything in God and in our lives. And so what I find in this great gift of the divine will is a tremendous help in this way. You see, it's not an escape. Jesus does call it an opiate in one sense, because it puts the passions to sleep. But in another sense, it doesn't take us out of the world and out of the context of what we're living through and all the kinds of pains that we can suffer today. There's so many kinds. No, what it does is it gives us a way to live through it gracefully and joyfully without trying to escape, without seeking some addiction, you know, whether it's the media, whether it's shopping, whether it's food, no matter what it is, that we don't rely on those things to restore us to some false sense of equilibrium. You see, Jesus, the divine will, God himself provides it for us. To always be the same is only of God. That's one of those phrases I think we all need, as he says, impressed upon our memories and our intellects. To be the same is only of God. It does not come to us by nature. So he's saying to Louisa and to us, try your best to always have this equanimity, this balance going on in your soul throughout your life. So Louisa goes on, after this, I continue to think about the pains of the passion of my adorable Jesus, with the nail of his privation in my heart. And my always lovable Jesus made himself seen in my interior, all taciturn, and so afflicted as to move one to pity. Now, granted, he's just said I was always sweet in my appearance, in my expression. But here, with Louisa many times, he seems very sad, he can seem angry. Jesus has emotions, you know. But he's saying that there was a constancy in his manner and in his behavior. He even got angry at times with people. But at the same time, there was this equilibrium, this harmony within him. So he comes to Louisa showing himself afflicted. And Louisa says to him, "My love, why are you so silent? It seems to me you don't want to tell me anything, nor confide to me your secrets and your pains any longer." And Jesus, all goodness but afflicted, said to me, "My daughter, being silent says something more important than what speaking says. To be silent is the decision of one who, not wanting to be distracted, remains silent. In the same way, the silence of a father with a beloved son of his, who is in the midst of other undisciplined sons, is a sign that he wants to strike the perverted sons." See, silence on the part of any one of us can be a sign of displeasure, of being unhappy, as Jesus is here with the world. He says, "Do you think it's something trivial that I do not come to you and that I'm scarce in letting you share my pains? Oh, my daughter, it's not something trivial. On the contrary, it's something great. When I do not come to you, my justice fills itself with chastisements in order to strike man. So much so that all of the past troubles, the earthquakes, the wars, will be nothing compared to the troubles that are about to come, and to the great war and revolution which is being prepared. The sins are so many that men cannot deserve that I let you share in my pains in order to free them from the deserved chastisements." See, when God's justice is filled up to the brim and mankind has reached the point, as it has today, with so many evils that are, you can't even count them all anymore. They almost seem infinite, though they're not. But the evil that's being perpetrated today in the name of good, many times, is so horrendous that there's really nothing almost that God can do except to bring about these chastisements. He says, "Therefore, have patience. My will is going to make up for my visible presence, although I remain hidden within you. If it were not so, you could not have kept the pace in doing your usual rounds in my will." You see, without the will of God, we can't continue to live in his will. "It's I who, though hidden, do them in you, and you follow the one whom you do not see." See, Jesus continues, he says this many times, "I'll substitute for you. I'm going to make up for you what you lack and what in your human frailty and weakness, sometimes sinfulness, fail to do." He says, "I'm going to do for you." So it's I who am hidden inside of you, the one whom you do not see, who will be making these rounds and doing acts with you in the divine will. "However, once my justice has completed the filling of chastisements, I will be with you as before. Therefore, courage, wait for me, and do not fear." You see, like Louisa, we go through all kinds of different things in our relationship and ways of being with God. It's got to constantly be changing, or it's not a real relationship. It's, you know, God is absolute and never changes, but we are still human and finite and very imperfect. And so we're always going through these changes of ours. And so Jesus is calling Louisa and us to realize that even when we go through these changes in life and our experiences, that we remain faithful and attentive as best we can, and to trust that when we fail and when our human weakness is too great, he will support us and he will do it for us. So he says, now while he was saying this, Louisa says, "I found myself outside of myself in the midst of the world. In almost all nations, one could see preparations for new, more tragic ways of fighting, which struck fright by just looking at them. And then the great human blindness, which becoming more blind, acted like a beast, not like a man. Being blind, it could not see that while wounding others, it was wounding itself. And then all frightened, I found myself again inside myself, all alone, without my Jesus, with a nail in my heart, because the one who is had departed from me, leaving me alone and abandoned. So she sees this blindness of the nations, which is what? The blindness of the human will. It's a collective blindness, the human will. We all have it individually. You have this huge blindness of peoples and can even be nations. You could say that's true of many nations in the world today, if not all of them. So she sees these nations that are preparing for war. They're so blind, they don't even see the harm they're doing to themselves. She says, then all frightened, I found myself again alone without Jesus. While I raved and fidgeted because of the pain, and sometimes we can rage and fidget too. You know, the pain can be great difference. You'd never underestimate that. But the question is, how are we living through the pain? How are we facing it? Are we running away from it? And there's so many ways to do that. I don't have to explain them all. You know them very well. There's so many ways to run away from it. Or do we hold on to the will of God? Do we allow the will of God to be the anchor, to be the rock that will see us through? And while she was raging and fidgeting, Jesus, my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior and sighing because of my hard state, said to me, my daughter, calm yourself, calm yourself. I am within you. I do not leave you. And how can I leave you? Look, my will is everywhere. If you remain in my will, I do not know where to go, nor do I find a place in order to move away from you. So you can't separate unless you, you know, really choose to separate from Jesus, as long as you're in God's will. And Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ. And she says, Jesus says, I would have to render my will limited and gather it in one point in order to leave you, but neither can I do this. My immensity extends everywhere. My nature renders immense all that belongs to me. Therefore, immense is my will, my power, my wisdom, and my love. So how can I leave you if I find you in my will? How can I leave you if I find you in my will? Dear friend, how can Jesus leave you if you're in the will of God, in the will of the Most Holy Trinity? He can't. Doesn't mean you're going to feel his presence. You know, that's the essence of our pain on earth, our suffering, that sense of separation, sense of being left alone without God. The pain can remain, but our faith and our trust can see us through and can hold on to this gift of God's will as the one thing, the pearl of great price, the treasure in the field that we cannot let go of. Therefore, Jesus says, be sure that I do not leave you, and plunge yourself more and more into the immensity of the abyss of my will. Be sure that I do not leave you. Have that blessed assurance, dear friends. You know, once we lose that, once we lose our trust that Jesus is still there, or once we have done something in our lives that would cause us to believe that he's no longer there, of course, we have to do what we need to do, and we go to confession or we seek help. And if we need help with our addictions, then we do that. Whatever it is that's making us want to get away from the pain, we have to live through that emotional Passover, if you will, to get to the other side. So he says, but plunge yourself at that moment when you're desperate or even close to despair, plunge yourself more into the immensity of the abyss of my will. You see, Lord, I enter more fully and deeply into you through this pain that I'm suffering. And I unite it with yours, not only in your passion and cross, but in every moment of your life, so that I too can come through with you to the other side and to the resurrection. And bring with me as many of my brothers and sisters as I can. Be sure, Jesus says, that I do not leave you. You plunge yourself more deeply into the immensity of the abyss of my will. This is his admonition to us. Try to see that everything else God has allowed is in his will as well. Try to be at peace with it. We can't change it all. We do what we can to make the world a better place and to help other people by our acts primarily, but also by our manner of life, by our behavior, by our words, thoughts, and deeds. But ultimately, we remain immersed in his will. That does more good for us. And you see, the one constant in our lives is this fusing, immersion, whatever you want to call it, communion with the will of God. It's that third step of AA says, I have decided to turn my life over to the higher power. It's exactly what we're doing in the divine will, every act of the divine will, every round, every moment of our lives. We're making over and over again a free choice, a willing decision to turn our lives over to our higher power, which as Christians, as Catholics, is the will of God. When we do that faithfully, attentively, as best we can, Jesus promises to heal us and strengthen us and make up for whatever else we do. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to our Heavenly Father through the gift of the Holy Spirit, revealing to us in Jesus this gift to little ones of living the mystery of the kingdom of God in our lives here on earth as it's lived in heaven. That's what he's offering. Let's take it. Let's hold on to it and never let it go. With that, dear friends, we're going to take a short musical interlude. We'll be back in just a moment. Continue with the next passage from volume 18. This is the will of God, life and writings of Luisa Picaretta. Please stay with us.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the will of God with Father Robert Young.
And welcome once again, dear friends, as we continue our program. We apologize for a lesser quality in that first half hour. We hope we've improved it now with a better connection. So in any case, this is radio, and it does have these moments of challenge for us. So thank you for staying with us. We're going to continue right now with the next passage from October 1st, 1925. Title says, "The Divine Will is the center of the humanity of our Lord. One who lives in it lives in this center." Louisa writes, "I was accompanying the pains of the passion of my sweet Jesus, according to my usual way, and I offered the very privation of him and the torture it caused me as proof of my sorrowful love for his relief and as compassion for his pains." Let me just stop there with that first sentence, because it's a very beautiful way that Louisa is praying. We all know she meditates a lot on the passion of the Lord, and certainly most of the saints have done so in their lives. Why is that so important? Well, for one thing, a lot of our life is lived in pain and sorrow too. So by living it with Jesus, and that's all we're doing, we're living in a sense his passion with him by uniting what we're going through. And that's exactly what she does. She offers it, what she's living through in this privation, with Jesus and for his comfort, you see, as proof of her own love for him. And it's a very beautiful way for us to pray as well. We have the hours of the Passion, of course, beautiful meditation Louisa gave us to help us do that and to also help us live fully in the will of God, especially in those moments, our own moments in life, when we have to bear pain or we have to live through sorrowful moments. She says, "Now, while I was doing this, my beloved good moved one arm within my interior, raising his right hand and letting rivulets of blood and of light flow from his fingers upon my poor soul, which was all withered and burned by the powerful blow of his privation, with such sadness that Jesus was shaken and moved to compassion, wanting to cheer me. He said to me, 'My daughter, courage, do not fear. One who lives in my will is in the center of my humanity, because the divine will is in me as the sun in its sphere. And even though the rays invade the earth, it never departs from on high, from its own center. It remains always enwrapped in its sphere, in its majestic throne. And while its light reaches everywhere, dominating everything, everything serves as its footstool, as everyone awaits its beneficial light. So was my divine will within me, the center within the sphere of my humanity. And from my sphere started the light, reaching everyone and every place." So Jesus is reminding Louise, as he does to us, the humanity of Jesus and what he suffered in his humanity is our common link, again, with him, especially what he lives through in suffering. The divine will is the center, he says, in his humanity. So he says, if you are living through your life, all that God's going to allow in your life, good, bad, and indifferent, in the center of my humanity, in other words, united with Jesus, in him, through him, with him, then he says, because the divine will is in him as the sun, then he says, even though the rays invade the earth, the sun never departs from where it is. So he says, even though you don't feel the rays coming towards you, I'm still there. And if you're living in my, united with my humanity, then you're in the depths of that humanity, also in my will. This is, I think, one of the greatest, it's not a new public revelation, but through Louisa, this private revelation, it is an incredible insight into the incarnation. That the will, and of course, it's nothing new. Jesus says it throughout John's gospel, you know, to be related to Jesus is to do the will of the Father. It's to be one with him. My food is to do the will of the Father, he says. Yes, it's everything. But what we're learning through Louisa is a whole science of what this indwelling of the will of God in Jesus and in us means. This incarnation, this union, communion, Pope Benedict talks about so much, of the human will and the divine will in Jesus is what he's helping Louisa to see. And he lived with the divine will at the center of his humanity while he was on earth, in many ways as if he didn't have it. Because while he had it, and he, of course, knew that, the human experience is such, especially when you're immersed in the humanity that is so sinful and evil, is such that it is alone, that the will of God is not there. When Jesus said, you know, Father, why have you abandoned me? He was speaking on behalf of all of humanity. Yes, he experienced that with us and for us and in us. But he was expressing all of our experience. Why have you abandoned us? Why? Because even though we're in the divine will here on earth, and we can live it and love it and know it, we're still going to experience this having been abandoned by God, this sense of separation and privation. He says, if this had been the first act of man to reject my supreme will, therefore it was appropriate for my humanity to take the first step toward it. To take the first step toward it. See, this is what he did when he was conceived and allowed himself to be conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so, once again, he says, come into my will. You know, be conceived with me there. Live your whole life with me there. Centralizing this eternal will always within me as center of life. A center of life. Bringing it to man once again through my life, my works, my pains, so that he might return to his Creator, placing himself in the order for which he had been created. See, this is what he's, in a nutshell, this short paragraph. Man rejected the will of God. Therefore, God, to redeem us and reconcile us back to God, had to become one of us in order to restore that communion. Because only one who did it perfectly in the will of God could make that possible. He says, do you see then, my daughter, the soul who lives in my will is in the center of my humanity. Everything I did and suffered is around her to help her, see, to help us. If she is weak, it administers its fortitude. If shaded, my blood washes her. That is, if she's stained in some way by her weakness and sin. If she's stained, my blood cleanses her and embellishes her. See, my arms hold her tightly and cover her with my works. In sum, everything is for her a defense and help. This is why the thought of my pains is almost natural in you. Because since you live in my will, they surround you as so many clouds of light and grace. See, everything that Jesus did in the divine will is there with us to help us. Within the sphere of my humanity, my will placed all of my works, my steps, my words, my blood, my wounds, my pains, and everything I did on the way. Every moment of his life is there available in order to call man to give to him sufficient aids and means to save him, to make him come back again into the womb of my will. If my most holy will had wanted to enter the field in order to call man, he would have been frightened. Instead, I wanted to call him with all that I did and suffered. See, if God had just through some incredible great act of his power, magnificence, had just, you know, reached down to man and just, you know, completely renewed him and restored him, he said, we would have been afraid of God. Yeah, we would have been restored, but we wouldn't have loved God. the way we do through Jesus. But when he becomes one of us to take it all on himself and to suffer the most painful life, death, and resurrection on earth for our sake, then there's a God we can love. There's a God we can want to give our will to. See, we can love him in return, surrender to him, be united with him. He says, instead, I wanted to call mankind with everything I did and suffered as a man, as one of you here on earth. These were like many enticements, pushes, encouragements, means to make him return into my arms. So everything I did and suffered brings man to God. It's all there, dear friends, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, one who lives in my will, living in the center of my humanity, takes all the fruits of all that I did and suffered and enters into the order of creation. And my will fulfills in her the full purpose for which she was created. Others, then, who do not live in my will, find again the means to be saved, but do not enjoy all the fruits of creation and of redemption. You see, so everything Jesus did throughout his life, all of the thoughts, words, and acts of his whole being on earth, his life on earth, are made available to us through the gift of his divine will, which is eternal, contains all of those acts of Jesus. Now, he says, we who are called to live in it are called into the center of his humanity. And he just told us what that center is. It's a sphere of his will, which is like a sun. Of course, it's not a material thing. It's not the material sun or something that could be, you know, seen in that way. But he's calling it like the sun, a sphere from which all of the rays of his life go out. And he says, when we enter into that sphere, into that sun, we enter into the order of all of creation. And then the divine will fulfills in this soul the purpose for which she was created, but also the purpose for which everything was created. So that everything we do brings that purpose of all the rest of creation to fulfillment. Others then who do not live in my will can find the means to be saved. They're saved. They can go to heaven. But they do not enjoy all the fruits of creation and redemption by living through the gift of sanctification. See, they can be saved, and they enjoy that fruit of redemption through the sacraments and through faith, through the gifts of God's grace. But he's saying they don't enjoy all of the fruits and all of the goods and the acts of God in creation, redemption, and sanctification the way we can who are living in the will of God. We can say, well, why wouldn't God allow everybody? Well, why doesn't God allow everybody to be Christian? Why? We don't know. It's the great mystery of God's providence. We can only say that because of his mercy, we are chosen. Because of his mercy, we've been created and redeemed and sanctified. And because of his mercy, we know about this great gift. If you choose any other reason, you're gonna go get into trouble. But because of God's mercy, he has allowed us to be favored in this way. She goes on, now, while my adorable Jesus was saying this, I said to him, my love, I don't know. I don't know. You tell me that I live in your will, and then you leave me. Alas, what a harsh martyrdom you make me undergo. As you leave me, everything changes. See, this is again what he's asking of us as we go through these changes. Don't be desperate. Don't give up. Don't want to go find your addiction. Don't go looking for something else to satisfy you. Certainly, Louisa didn't do that. She complains and she laments, as we all do. But he's also saying, don't change inside. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Don't lose your trust when you feel so alone and so abandoned by everything, including and everyone, including God. Louisa goes on, as you leave me, everything changes. I no longer even recognize myself. Everything dies for me. The light dies, the love, the good. You alone maintain the beating of life in my poor soul. As soon as you depart and leave me, everything dies. Now, dear friends, if you really have lived life, and I think lived it fully, really entering into life and into all the beauty and the goodness and the challenges and the sorrows and the joys of life, who doesn't experience this? Who doesn't at some point feel they're dying interiorly, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically? You see, it's going to be there. But what Jesus has given us in the divine will is a way to go through this gracefully. Not only gracefully, but so powerfully that together with God, the Most Holy Trinity, you're creating, redeeming, and sanctifying the world with Him. If we stay with it, if we remain faithful and attentive ultimately to the center of the humanity of Jesus, the will of God reigning in His soul. You know, everything dies. You know, what is the first step of AA? I've realized that my life is absolutely meaningless, worthless. I'm a nothing. I can't even manage it, and I cannot change it. See, until a person gets to this point in some way, in some place in your life, of that total powerlessness and almost uselessness to do anything to help oneself or anybody else, where you feel everything has died, then it's very hard for God to take over. You see this, we're going to celebrate St. Francis of Assisi tomorrow. It's exactly what happened to him. You know, lived a pretty sinful life, a life of debauchery, and had a great time, was a leader of the gang, you know, in Assisi in his own day. And then God, you know, plucked him out of the crowd and said, no, I've got something else for you to do. You know, and he led him through this incredible Passover and conversion that was very, very painful. You know, Jesus cried. St. Francis cried and he wept bitter tears throughout his life of sorrow over his past. But yet, look what God was able to do with him as he lived through that pain, as he lived through that sorrow, as he lived what everybody sees as a great joy, a very joyful man. Why? Because God took him and, you know, began to create him anew, as St. Paul says, he was faithful to it. He went through it. And I'm sure through many a moment through his life, not only at the beginning, but all the way through, as he saw the Franciscans turn into something he never created or never wanted, he could be discouraged. And yet he remained faithful. He says, see then in what hard and painful conditions you leave me. We could all say that to God at times. Oh, please have pity on me. Do not leave me anymore, for I cannot take it anymore. Now, while I wanted to say more, my Jesus, sighing, added, my daughter, be quiet. Do not go any further. Your words wound my heart. How would I like to remove this nail so hard from your heart? But if I leave you, it's not really leaving you. Since if I really could leave you, I too know that this nail would be unbearable for one who loves me. It would kill you continuously without pity. Therefore, remove the thought that I might leave you. You should be convinced that instead of leaving you, I penetrate you more deeply. I penetrate more deeply into yourself, and I remain silent within the little tip of your soul. You see, it all begins in our thoughts, doesn't it? If the minute I start to suffer in some way or another, especially spiritually, interiorly, I dwell on this fact that God has abandoned me. Oh, woe is me. You know. Instead, he says, no, turn that thought around. Convert that thought, transform that thought instead into the thought of Jesus, which is, Father, I immerse this more deeply in you, and I ask that through it you immerse and plunge, penetrate more deeply into my soul. And I trust that you will do that through what I'm living through at this moment. He says, and this is so true, since nothing has moved within you. The preparations which were there are still there. They're all in order. you know, all that we've done to try to live in the will of God, our prevenient acts, our reading, our study, our praying. In fact, it's enough for my will to want it, and I stir a little bit the preparations which are there, and soon I am with you again. You see, it doesn't last forever, but it sure can feel like forever. And then, how can I leave you? One who does my will and lives in it maintains the whole bonds of creation which exist between creator and creature. It's the bond of the center of the humanity of Jesus, the will of God. The bonds of redemption, the bonds between the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, and those who are to be sanctified. My will seals all these bonds and renders the creature indivisible, inseparable from me. Therefore, be sure that your Jesus does not leave you. He says it again. Be sure. Be assured. And where does that assurance come from? It comes from our faith, our trust. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, while he was saying this, I could see many threads of light bound to my heart. Some of them were bound to all the created things. Other threads of light came out from all that Jesus had done and suffered, others from the sacraments. But may everything be for the glory of God, for the good of my soul, and the good of all souls. Amen. Beautiful way to end that passage with this prayer of Louisa. She sees these threads of light, these wires, these connections, uniting her interior with all of creation and all that God has done in creation, redemption, and sanctification. And then she said, may everything be for the glory of God and the good of all souls, including, of course, our own. Well, dear friends, that is what it's all about. And that's the goal of it all, is to restore that glory to the Father that was lost through the fall of Adam and Eve and through all of our own acts out of the human will rather than living in the will of God. Let's pray that we and through us the world will come to know it more fully, more deeply, live it and love it and possess it. So this is our prayer, like Louisa, for the glory of God, the good of all souls. May God bless you, keep you always in the heaven of his will, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, and happy feast to St. Francis of Assisi to all of you as well.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.